what your life manifests. Okay, so the first one is attitudes. I look, if you would, at Proverbs 23. Look down at verse 7. The Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart," I thought it was funny, Dave Talley said that this morning, "so is he, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." In other words, somebody's attitude is the trick. Here is the trick, somebody. But your attitudes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says we need to control our thoughts. I have a quote here from a guy named Curtis Hudson. Some of you may know who Curtis Hudson is. Curtis Hudson says, "It is not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines altitude. It's not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines your altitude." Amen? In other words, how high you go is determined by your attitude. Some of us need an attitude adjustment. Now, I get one every day. Every day I wake up with an attitude adjustment. Anybody ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? You know what I mean there? You're not in a good mood. Do not touch me. Do not talk to me. Do not pass go. Go directly to jail. Stay away from me. Anybody like that? Anybody have those mornings? How many of you are not a morning person? Oh, wow, half the congregation. Not a morning person. Do not, you go through the room like a zombie until coffee gets in. And I'll perk up. It reminds me of 7-Eleven. Didn't 7-Eleven have a commercial like that where the guy walks in like a bear and he got his coffee and all of a sudden he turns into a human? Yeah, similar. I'm a bear until I get my coffee. A lot of people need an attitude adjustment. We got to get our attitudes properly right. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we need to cast down all things that are against the knowledge of Christ. We need to bring into captivity every thought. You need to wake up and give yourself an attitude adjustment. As a Christian, listen to me very carefully. I was talking to my sister, said, "How come you're happy?" I says, "I'm happy because I make myself happy." She goes, "What do you mean?" I says, "It doesn't matter what happens during life. You have a choice. You can go through your life upset, angry, mad at people all the time, or you can just step on those things, get up, and keep moving." So I told her, I said, "Some days the only thing that keeps me happy is my drive to be happy. Because I have an attitude that says, hey, people are watching me. This man for 20 years has watched my life. He has family in this community that tells him what's going on here. We have people that have been coming back to our church after years being gone, saying, praise the God, you're standing on the firm in the doctrines. You're still here and the church is still here." What is that from? That is from people that have the attitude to say, hey, my testimony means something. Amen? So attitude. We need to have people with better attitudes. Some things are worth dying for. The honor of one's country, the sanctity of the home, the virtue of women, the safety of little children. But if they're worth dying for, shouldn't they be worth living for? We ought to want to live. It means the word. The first one is enthusiasm. If you would, please, the book of Romans in chapter 12. The first one, you can see it right there, is enthusiasm. Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12 is, a lot of people use that. They think it's the, and it is a good one. A direction in the daily life. You can look at Romans chapter 12 and read it, memorize it, and if you live by Romans chapter 12 on a daily basis, you'll be doing fine. But look at verse 11. It says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit." Come on, amen. Serving the Lord, enthusiasm. Man, we need more of that enthusiasm. Come on, amen. Enthusiasm means in God. I mean, I got a religious ecstasy, earnest, a fervent feeling. Hey, we ought to have that enthusiasm in our life. Come on, folks. There's nothing wrong with being a little excited about things. Some of you look like you died yesterday and your body forgot to tell you. Yeah, and you walk in, and that's why when you, am I right or wrong? When you walk in here, I don't give you that, hi. Glad to see you. Old dead fish handshake. You know, I think I'm going to get a rubber fish and just hold it out for some. Now, I have people, because I have men sometimes come up and try to challenge me with a handshake. I do not shake hard. I stopped doing that years ago. Unless it's a kid that wants to go, I can beat you. And I ain't giving up, boys. I may be 66 now, but I'm going to whoop that 5-10-year-old boy just because. Because there's going to be a time I won't be able to grab my hand. But anyway, I did that because a lot of older folks, ladies especially, you can hurt their hands. So I just set it out and let them do the squeezing. So make them feel tough. But anyways, you come in here and I'm enthusiastic, ain't I? I try to find something to joke about or be happy about. Man, we need more Christians like that. This world is full of cynicism, hatred, bitterness, discouragement, isn't it? We're supposed to be different. We're the light of the world. Come on, amen? How many of you are like me? You need more light to see. Isn't light nice? Especially in the middle of the night when it's so dark you can't see and you stub your toe. And them old words come back. Amen? I remember when the kids, it was army men. Those little green army men, the plastic, man alive. The one that hurt the worst is the guy that was kneeled down like this with a gun. That one hurt. I don't know what it was, but you step on that pup, you know it. And then metal jacks. In my day, you had the metal ones. You didn't have them rubber ones. We had metal ones. Those things hurt. Legos, that's nothing compared to a metal jack. And every once in a while, you'll find an earring. Yeah, and my wife, I say, I found it. Amen. Amen. Go, if you would, please, to the book of Psalm, chapter 16. Enthusiasm. We need more of it today. Come on, amen. Psalm, chapter 16. If you would, please. Psalm 16. Oh, I went one page too far. Verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Here's the first one. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Question I have for you. If Jesus walked in here and you knew it was Jesus and he sat beside you, would you get a little bit more thrilled? He's in you. And he said what? I will never. We should be happy all the time. We should be joyful all the time. Now that's tough. I got to admit. So his presence. And listen to what it says in Joshua. It says this. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Thou be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that neat? I love that. I love the King's English. Whithersoever thou goest. That means at all times, no matter what, Christ is there. That's why he says in the book of Matthew, I will be with you always. It means in every condition, not always, always. That means whatever condition, whatever time. Even when you and I don't want him around. Any of you young enough or your memory is good enough to remember when you was a child and when you didn't want your parents around? To see what you were doing, to know what you're not doing. We were reminiscing a little bit, my sister and I, and we remember when we went to Colorado Springs. So actually, we went up north to St. Joe from Kansas City and went across to, and we went to the Badlands, and then we went through South Dakota, went to the Mount Rushmore, and then we came down through Colorado Springs, and then we whisked across Kansas because there's nothing to see. Anybody ever been on I-70 in Kansas? There's nothing. I mean, it's gone. And we got in a windstorm so bad we had a 13.5-foot camper on my dad's Ford pickup truck, so we had to pull over a rest stop. Here comes a guy on a motorcycle coming down the lane, and he's, that wind is blowing him everywhere. My dad and I walked out there to try to help him balance the bike to get it in the rest stop. We get home a day earlier. My brother was stayed at home. He was about 16. He was at home by himself, supposedly being good. So my dad got there, opened the door, looked inside, shut it, and told us to stay outside. He went in and began to have some conversation with my brother, because my brother had a party and left the house a mess. Just a little hint. If you're going to have a party, clean up. Amen. Don't let them see any evidence of thereof. But he got chewed out a few bits. Hey, nobody wants it. So sometimes we don't want the Lord around, but he's not leaving. He's going to stay with you. That ought to bring us some enthusiasm. Amen. If you would, 2 Chronicles, if you would, please, the book of 2 Chronicles, if you would with me. So the presence of the Lord, it's important for us to desire that, but that ought to thrill us. That ought to get us some excitement in our lives. So if you would, please, the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 25, and I'm going to 1 Chronicles. That's not going to do me any good, is it? 2 Chronicles in chapter 25. I'm getting there, if you would with me. 2 Chronicles 25. Look at verse 8. The Bible says this. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath, here's the next one, power to help, come on, amen, and to cast down. So what should give me enthusiasm? What should give me strength and energy and excitement for the day? Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have the power of God behind me. Come on, amen. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says it this way. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a God we have. You know what? You got to be excited. You have the Almighty Creator as your helper. You know what's interesting to me? I don't know about you. This gets me a little excited. He didn't say, I am Almighty God. You will help me. He said, I will help you. Why? His work's done. He has anything else to do. But we still have things to do. He's going to help us get her done. What a blessing that is. Amen? That'll get us some excitement in our lives. I don't know about you, that does me. The book of Philippians. Get the right verse here. Anybody ever start a job and you didn't know? You weren't excited about it? Anybody have a job that you had to do you weren't excited about it? Anybody? Okay, why was the reason? What was the reason you weren't excited about it?
It's cleaning floors. There's nothing to be excited about.
Nothing to be excited about. So that it was monotonous, you know, or dirty. Anybody else?
Cleaning all day.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun either. Okay.
The environment.
Okay, basically the same as in the environment you're heading into, either people or the situation of the job. Anybody ever wanted to get in a job that where you didn't really do it because you weren't really confident in it? You didn't know if you, I don't know, this is, I'm heading into a situation I may not.
Transporting cars,
okay. So you're getting into something you're not really familiar with, and listen to me very carefully. Enthusiasm comes when you know what you're doing. Enthusiasm comes when you say, I got this. Come on, amen? So if you would, Philippians, and this is what I'm talking about. If you have Philippians chapter 4, start verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Say the next word. Again, we'll talk about that word always. Always is different from always. Always means no matter the situation, no matter the time, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You see that phrase, the Lord is at hand? Man, the Lord's always there. I don't know how to do this. Lord, help me. He said, I'm here to help. I'm here to help you get it done. Let your moderation be known. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And here's the next one. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, listen. And then it goes on to things that we should think about. What happens when we don't know, or we are got to get into a situation where the environment's bad or it's filthy and I really don't want to do this job? We used to joke the job for a laborer, when you have a bow bay, the job for a laborer is the one that had to climb underneath the bow bay and nail up the soffit material underneath the bow bay, because it's only this much of a clearance space and what's underneath it is dirt or mud. And so we always gave that job to the laborers because us foremans didn't want to do it. So I remember the first job I got, the guy says, hey, you need to climb underneath there and put the salt material in there. I said, okay. So he showed me how to cut it. So I measured it out, cut it, got underneath there. And I went, and he goes, how come you're having fun? I was singing underneath there. Oh, how I love Jesus. You're nuts. I said, well, you ain't doing it. I'm the only one that can do it. God gave me the body, small. Amen. If I was a big guy, I'd be complaining. Come on, amen. I've seen some of you big. I could step through, at that time, a 16-inch center, two studs. I could step through it. I just went like this and went right through a 16-inch with my pouch on. And I had guys that couldn't step through a 3-0 door. 3-foot door. They had turned sideways again. Barely make it. I was praising the Lord. I was small. Couldn't imagine being a big guy and having to get down there and do that. That'd have been a tough work. Or up on a ridge, 50 feet in the air, riding a 2x8, nailing on rafters. They put me up there. Why? I was small. Aren't you scared? No. Are you scared of dying? No. What happens if you fall? I'm scared of surviving. If I fall, it's like the other day, a lady almost hit me with a car. We both got out of the same parking lot, and I says, if you're going to hit me, run over it, back over it 4 or 5 times. Make sure it's total. I don't want it just a dent. And she started laughing. So, Pete, isn't it great to know that God's at hand? No matter what situation you're at, God's there. That ought to give us peace. That ought to give us that excitement that, hey, God's here. I may be worthless. I may be in the wrong place. Listen, I've been there. Now, it's been a long time. I got to admit that it's been there. I've been there to where I was in the wrong place in my life with God as a Christian. And what God gave me peace is He was always there with me. And His Word said that, and I believed it, got right with Him, and He showed forth His power. Go, if you would, please, to 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would with me. So we see the presence of God. That ought to give us some enthusiasm. Amen. Some enthusiasm. Enthusiasm means in God. So we ought to be excited about things of God, fervent in our spirit. It's the power of God ought to give us some excitement. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Being happy all the time, being enthusiastic and joyful for the Lord all the time, doesn't make sense. That's what it passeth all understanding means. How can you be at peace? You have cancer and you're going to die. Oh, I get to see Jesus before you do. What? You're weird. How come you're happy when you lost that job? Well, God's got something better for me. How come you're happy when that car broke down? God's going to do something. I know He is. Amen? We got to see it that, because that's where the Lord works. If you would, 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 4. Where are given unto us exceeding great and precious, here's the last one, promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So the promise, give me a promise of God. Come on, what's a promise in the Bible that you can think of? Eternal life, okay. Forgiveness of our sins. He's preparing a place for you. Good. Okay, provide. Okay.
Mercy.
Mercy. Amen. He's going to come back. I promise. Anybody else? Promises of God. Amen. If we give to missions, He promises to take care of us. If we're givers, He promises to give us more. Amen. If we're tithers, He promises to open up the windows of heaven. Amen. If we pray and ask for forgiveness, He promised to forgive our sins. And not only that, give us a clean slate. Now, you don't find that amongst human beings. Human beings rarely give a clean plate. This same guy that called me was talking about, most Christians don't understand the word forgiveness. I said, the greatest gift you can give yourself is to learn how to forgive. He goes, what does forgiveness mean? You called me, you did me wrong, you've never been a blessing to me, and I said, how can I help you? He goes, yep, that's forgiveness. I said, I have no animosity to you. Can I help you? If I can, I will. Amen? Yeah. Gave him some counsel. He's supposed to call back and have some fellowship. I said, if you're ever in town, he lives out of state, come by and see me. And he goes, really? Yeah. Amen? I've had people leave the church, come back. Folks, we got to learn how to forgive. Amen? Yeah. Why? Because the promises that God gave me, I forgave you. You forgive. So I had to learn how to forgive. So those are some promises that we have in the Scriptures that the Lord gives us. And I don't know about you, that encourages me. I don't know if you're like I am, but when I pray, I said, Lord, you said, the Lord loves, thus saith the Lord, repeated back to Him. You know the difference between our Heavenly Father and you and me? Our Heavenly Father keeps His promises. Human beings don't keep their promises. Our Heavenly Father does. We can't. We don't have the power to do it, but God Almighty does. So the promises of God, we need to do that. Okay, let's look at the next one. Does anybody get those? Okay, let's look at the next one. If you are back to Proverbs chapter 15 this time. Proverbs 15. We're not going to get too far here, but we might finish this one. Proverbs 15. That's right after Psalm, right? Proverbs 15. No, I was joking. Verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Has anybody ever here had a problem smiling? Had a day like that, a week like that, a year like that? The situation that come in your life, it's kind of hard to smile. Anybody, when you were in that condition, ask you, what's wrong with you? How come, what happened? What's the matter with you? Have you ever had anybody go, how come you're happy? What are you happy about today? Boy, you look happy. Come on, amen. Smile can do that. Yeah, we're good. We got this one. Amen. Amen. So, gave it up. It is impossible to smile on the outside without feeling better on the inside. Now, a cheerful countenance. Now, let me just stop here for a second. And this is a jovialty. Is that how you say it? Jovial? Jovialty? That sounds good. We'll keep that one. Sounds good. The Lord said He likes a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is genial, so G-E-N-I-L, genial. It means to be cheerful, a countenance, a cheerful countenance, happy. We should be happy people. We should be merry-hearted people. Now, I don't know about you, like I said earlier, there are days that the only thing that's keeping me smiling is my drive to smile. It's not because inside I'm feeling so joy feelings. But I do understand the entirety of the picture. Anybody ever watch a film or a movie to where you go, not my best. It had its good spots and it had its bad spots. Anybody ever watch a show like that? That's basically Hollywood right there. You have good spots, you got bad spots. Sometimes you have more meat than you have bones. Sometimes it's more enjoyable to watch and it's not. But you look at, you could do this. You could look. You say, did you like the movie? And you don't go, well, it had this. I don't like it. Most people don't do that. Most people will assess the entirety of the show, not just a moment, and say, well, that's it. I'm never going to watch that because it had this phrase in it. I remember years ago I was watching a show and it had one statement of a homosexual relationship. And so the person with me got up and walked out and said, I'm never going to watch that show again. And it was that good Christian show. And the situation, the guy ends up getting right with God and they break their relationship. If he would have stayed and watched the rest of the show, he would have said, but how many of that, we almost check out on life, don't we? We have a bad day, a bad moment, a bad situation, and we want to throw it away. Boom, just like that. Be careful. Come on, amen. So train yourself to be cheerful. Cheerful. Come on, amen. So the first one, G-E-N-I-A-L. I think it's pronounced genial. Means cheerful, okay? We ought to be cheerful. They were having an argument as to whether it was correct to say of a hen, she is sitting or setting. And not being able to arrive at a satisfactory conclusion, they decided to submit the problem to a farmer named Giles. They said, Farmer Giles, which is it? Is the hen sitting or setting? My friend, said he, that don't interest me at all. What I want to know is when I hear a hen cackle, whether she be laying or lying. I thought you might like that, Stacy. Amen. A lot of times we want to complain and we want to get picky about life. Come on, amen. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Let's don't cackle and lie. Let's look at the next one. If you would, Proverbs 12:25, if you would with me. The Bible says this, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Amen? So a glad heart. How do you get a glad heart? That was a question. Not a rhetorical question. In other words, you're not supposed to answer it. That's a good question. Okay, how do you practice gladness? You're not helping me out at all. You know that, don't you? Let me see. All of the above. I get a glad heart by being glad. Jason. All right, good. That's a little better because you would have said that next. Think on glad things. That was your next step, Cheryl. Focus on good. Frame of mind. Good. Stacy. Good. Oh, that's good. That is true. Okay, have you listened to these people? Well, get off the good things. I understand. I got what you're saying. I was just joking with you. Dan? I think it's the theme, but the same as count your blessings. Count your blessings.
Yep.
Zach?
Alignment.
Okay.
Prayer?
Good. That's good. That's good. Jason, you can't have two. I guess she had glad and glad things. I guess you can have two. Recall God's promises, okay? Alignment. Get everything back in order, amen? I'm telling you, your heart is a deceitful thing and desperately wicked. But remember this, your heart is controlled by what? Your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you want to be a pooper head? You could be it. Do you want to be a happy person? You can be it. You want to be a bitter person? You can be it. Come on, amen. You want to be a failure? You can be a failure. You want to be successful? You can be a successful. What I love about America, that's one thing I like about America, the sole liberty we have. And listen, I realize government stinks, and I realize there's times that government comes in and tries to intervene or intrude into your life. Well, just tell them to get out. Amen? I don't need you today. I had one government official, I'm here to help you. I don't want your help, and I don't need your help. Goodbye. And they left. Amen. So all I'm saying is this. What kind of heart do you want? You want a glad heart or a sad heart? You want a happy heart or a evil heart? You want a good heart or an evil heart? It's up to you. I want a glad heart. How about you? There is always a lot to be thankful for if you take time to look for it. For example, I am sitting here. I'm not. I'm standing. Thinking how nice it is that wrinkles don't hurt. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A gentleman going along a country road met a man to whom he courteously wished good morning. I never had a bad morning, replied the man. That's singular. I wish you may always be so fortunate. I was never unfortunate, said he. Dear me, I wish you may always be happy. I have never been unhappy, said the other. I wish, said the gentleman, that you would explain yourself a little. That I certainly will do. I never had a bad morning, for every morning I praise God. Whether it rains or snows, whether it be bright or stormy, I am still thankful to God. And His will is always good in whatsoever He does or permits to be done to me. You wish me always happy, but I cannot be unhappy while I resign to the will of God and as long as His peace rules in my heart. See, the problem is we're alignment. We're thinking happy has something to do with what's going on in our lives. Instead of our happiness should be based on, I'm so happy, here's the reason why. Jesus came, burdens all away. Hey, took my burdens all away. Amen. Now I'm pouting as the days go by. No, singing as the days go by. So we got to have a glad heart. Chapter 17, if you would, please. Chapter 17 of Proverbs. Look around verse 22. 17 verse 22 says this. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I have seen this with my own eyes. We have a few, and I'm trying not to be too personal about it. We've had a few in our church, in my family, that you could tell when you come to them that they have a sad heart. It drieth the bones. It shows up in their physical bodies, in their lives. People that live healthier lives are people that are happy. They're not walking around. A cheerful countenance. A good medicine is what this one is. Good medicine. Laughing helps. It's like jogging on the outside. Or jogging on the inside. It's like jogging on the inside. Laughing helps. A merry heart. A good medicine. Amen? We need more of people that are happy. Happy people, joyful people. Anybody ever remember a cartoon, Calvin and Hobbes? I always thought that was cute. Now, I wish I could just stick it up and you can read it. But if I remember right, the kid is Calvin, right? And Hobbes is the lion or tiger. So they're walking around and Calvin says, I don't like real experience. It's too hard to figure out. You never know what's going on. You don't have any control over events. Hobbes is just standing there listening. I prefer to see life filtered through television. That way, you can know the events have been packed for your convenience. I like a narrative imposed on life, so everything logically proceeds to a tidy conclusion. And if you don't like what's happening, click! You change the channel, and there's something different that's how you real life should be. So Hobbes goes, click, and kicks Calvin and rolls him over. And he goes, good, a farce, a new experience. Of course, then he starts chasing him. Listen, folks, you know, that life is not that way. Life is not convenient. Come on, amen. How come you folks cannot get along on Friday? Friday's my day off. Why do people call me Friday with marital problems? Stop by the house because they have a difficulty in their life. Why can't you have difficulties on Thursday? On Saturday? How about church days? Come to me during church. Why? I don't have to have an extra day. Why is it that you have flat tires in the rain? On your way to work or on your way to church, you have car problems and you're wearing your suit. Or you're a lady and your heel breaks on the way down the aisle, I mean the deck of the church, or on the way out of the house. Why is things fall apart in the most inconvenient time? You get that battery, you get the Sawzall, you climb the ladder, you turn the, put it in, you pull the trigger and it goes, and it's out of power. Why isn't it always convenient that you have exactly the right amount of sugar you need for the recipe? The right amount of flour. Come on, amen? You get the stuff loaded in the washing machine, you reach over, you go, you're out of laundry soap. You ever been there? That's called life! We're going to have those kind of things. You need to laugh about them. Tell a joke about it. Do something, but we usually get mad, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. Heavenly Father, help us now as we go through our lives. Help us with our attitude, that we would have an attitude adjustment. Get ourselves taken care of in our lives, and pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.